Hello, Empire Builders. This is Kimberly Bonner, your host of Business Scale Insights. Today is Friday, and you know what that means? It's time for Friday Focus. Friday Focus and Business Scale Insights are brought to you by New Day Consulting Systems, a firm dedicated to helping small businesses scale well. Hello, Empire Builders, and yes, today is Friday Focus, and you know what that means. Every other Friday, or sometimes once a month, I highlight an interview with a business leader, or a talk with a business leader, or I actually do an interview with a business leader that touches on some particular subject matter or issue that I think is relevant for my podcast community and what I'm covering. So today is absolutely no different, and I am so elated that not only did I discover this gem of an interview with Jeff Bezos talking about leadership, but this gem of an interview happened, I believe, on April 20th. So it's just incredible, incredible timing, very fortuitous, hot off the presses. It's an interview at the George Bush Presidential Center. It's a forum on leadership sponsored by SMU. Jeff Bezos talking about leadership. Not only is this interview with Jeff Bezos just a fortuitous find and a gem, but it's a gem in part because it's a wonderful bridge from my previous podcast series to the present podcast series. I concluded the previous podcast series on love and money, discussing your relationship with money and money management. And kind of my case study in money management was Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos, as many of you who are obviously entrepreneurs, but particularly those of you who are in the finance realm, CPAs, accounting, kind of bean counters, understand that Jeff Bezos has turned kind of the finance world and the stock market and really our basic assumptions about how you financially manage a business, he's turned them upside down. And for those of you who thought that, you know, everything was about profitability, Jeff Bezos has really challenged those basic business assumptions. Yes, he's profitable, but his profit margins aren't in the realm that a lot of his investors would like. And they have historically been shockingly low compared to his competitors. So this is a wonderful interview because he goes into the weeds a little bit about that. So that kind of dovetails on the last part of the Business Scale Insights series on love and money. If you haven't listened to that series, I really, 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 really highly, 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 highly suggest, shameless plug, that you check that out because it will turn the light bulb on for a lot of you as it relates to your mindset in building your companies. So that's important. So I just wanted to say that. But the other reason why I think this interview is so wonderful and so fortuitous and such a gem is because he also talks about leadership generally and how he has been able to lead in the area of business. And one of the things that he highlights is his focus on customer service. And that is a wonderful pivot to my new series on leadership in the United States. And one of the topics we're going to talk about next Tuesday, please tune in, shameless plug, is we're going to talk about servant leadership. Servant leadership, big deal. I grew up watching servant leaders. They are few and far between, but I thank God. It is a blessing. I beyond won the lottery in the sense of being raised by a tribe of incredible servant leaders. And I've traveled the world. I have seen some of the smartest people in the world, some of the most powerful people in the world who call themselves leaders, but they do not have a servant's heart. Jeff Bezos understands that the way you lead in any domain I don't care if it's banking, technology, medicine, politics. You have to serve people because ultimately they are the focus of your company. It's not the technology. It's not the tools. It's people. It's your customers. It's your clients. You serve them, period. And so it's wonderful for Jeff Bezos to kind of talk about this on April 20th because it's a wonderful segue into my conversation and the subject of the podcast, which is leadership. And is there a leadership crisis in America? I personally think there is. And the number one reason why I think there is a leadership crisis in America is because we've become so self-absorbed and so narcissistic, and our leaders have become so inward, navel-gazingly focused that we're not other-focused, and we're not focused on the needs of others. And that is service, and that is customer service, and that's a servant's heart. And it's basic, but I don't know what happened. And maybe we can get back to that place. But anyway, I know that many of you would discount what I'm saying. So when I talk about leadership in this podcast series, I know so many of you would be like, well, what's God, what does this lady know? What the heck does this black chick from Florida know? Blah, blah, blah. So what I understand. I'm a lawyer by training. So I have to bring some evidence. I have to bring some data. I have to bring some case studies. And so to me, Friday Focus is always going to be used as my receipts, as the kids say, my evidence, my data, my case study. And if Jeff Bezos does not meet the gold standard for understanding how important and critical service is for leadership in any domain, let me tell you, sweetheart, I don't know what will meet that standard. He's blowing up paradigms. He's pioneering. He's innovative in every domain. And it's because he's obsessed with customer service. So I couldn't think of any better person to lead off this leadership series and segue from our money relationship and money management series than none other than Jeff Bezos. So I'm done with my little intro, and I'm done plugging my series. The next voice that you will hear is Jeff Bezos.
Sponsors tonight, Amarillo National Bank and Highland Capital Management. This is a multi-faceted event. We're here with SMU, our great partner. We're here as the Engage event sponsored by Highland Capital. And we're also here as the culminating conversation of our forum on leadership. And this has been a great couple of days with Bono, Priscilla Chan, Governors Hickenlooper and Martinez, Ben Bernanke, Hank Paulson, many others, and Condi Rice and President Mrs. Bush talking about leadership. So I want to talk about leadership.
Yeah.
And the first thing to really talk about is to, I want to take you back to the beginning. And in 1995, you started.
Yep.
You went public in 97. Mm-hmm. And I'll adjust for stock splits, but you issued shares at $1.50 a share.
That's right.
In 1988, your revenue was $600 million, and you lost $125 million. But your stock had gone to $55 a share. So you doubled down, sales went up threefold, you lost another $400 million, but your stock went up to $76, $27 billion of market cap, your personal net worth of $9 billion. Take us back to that time where the market is telling you you're doing great, but you have red ink in the company. You took on $2 billion of debt from 99 to 01 while you doubled sales yet again. What were you thinking back then?
Well, that's a great question, and it is kind of fun to go back and think about those days. You know, in those days when we had, I don't know, when I started the company and it was just one person and then there were 10 people, and you know, today there are almost 600,000 people, so there's a lot of change. But back in that time, we were still a pretty small company, by most standards, but we were growing fast and it was very exciting. You know, I had, when I started, I was driving all the packages to the post office myself. I knew the UPS guy so well that he would let me in even like 5 minutes after closing. So it was, I hoped one day we'd be able to afford a forklift. It was that kind of operation. We were so inefficient with our operations and logistics in those early days when there were just 10 of us that I didn't have packing tables. We were packing on the floor on our hands and knees. And I said to one of the software engineers who was packing alongside me, you know what we should do? We should get knee pads. And he looked at me like I was the dumbest guy he'd ever seen in his life. And he said, Jeff, we should get packing tables. And we, next day I got packing tables and it doubled our productivity. And so, but by the, in the era you're talking about, we had gone public, and you're right, on a split adjusted basis, it's $1.50 a share in today's terms. And the market became very quickly a kind of an internet bubble kind of market, and the stock prices went up very, very high. When I raised the initial funding for Amazon, I had to talk to 60 prospective investors to raise $1 million, and I raised $1 million from 22 different investors, $50,000 at a time, and they got 20% of the company for $1 million, and that was in 95. But just two or three years later, Stanford MBA with no business experience could raise $25 million with a single phone call if they had a internet business plan. So the whole thing in just 2 or 3 years, the excitement, really, as we would shortly see when the bubble burst in the year 2000, the hyperbolic excitement about the internet had infected everybody. And I liked our business, and I liked the fundamentals of our business, but I also knew that the stock price was disconnected from what we were doing on a day-to-day basis. And so I was always preaching. We would have all hands meetings, and it was a small number of employees at that time, but you know, probably, let's see, in 97, I think we would have had a few hundred employees. We would have all hands meetings, and I would say, look, you know, we got to remember the great quote from Benjamin Graham, that in the short run, the stock market is a voting machine. In the long run, it's a weighing machine. So don't think about the daily stock price, because it was going up every day. The stock price was going up. And I didn't want, because all the employees had stock options, and I didn't want them counting their success that way. And so I would say, look, when the stock is up 30% in a month, don't feel 30% smarter. Because when it's down 30% in a month, then you're going to have to feel 30% dumber. And it's not going to feel as good.
Right.
And it was good that I kind of laid that groundwork because, you know, sure enough, in the year 2000, the whole thing came tumbling down. I think Amazon
went
stock
back to about $6.
Went down to $6. And that, I don't even know if that's on a split-adjusted basis.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, on a split-adjusted basis, probably below $1.
You ever doubt the business model at that point?
No. So it's very interesting to me, because I had all the internal metrics on, you know, how many customers we had and what was going on, and I could see people thought we were losing money because we were selling dollar bills for 90 cents, even though we were very clear that we were not. We had high fixed costs, but we had positive contribution margin, and I just knew that it was a fixed cost business, and as soon as we reached a sufficient scale, we would have a very good business, and so that was that understanding of the fixed nature of our expenses relative to physical world retail is what led us to have the get big fast strategy. We knew that it would be, that our economics would be very much improved if we could have a sufficient scale.
So
it runs through all these things is the same. We only have a few principles at Amazon, kind of core values that we go back to over and over again. And if you looked at each of the things that we do, you would see those run straight through everything. So the first one, and by far the most important one, is customer obsession. And we talk about it as customer obsession as opposed to competitor obsession. And I have seen over and over again companies talk about that they're customer focused, but really when I pay close attention to them, I believe they are competitor focused. And that's just a completely different mentality. By the way, competitor focus can work, but I don't think it works in the long run as well as customer focused. For one thing, once you're the leader, if your whole culture is competitor obsessed, it's kind of hard to stay energized and motivated if you're out in front. Whereas customers are always unsatisfied, they're always discontent, they always want more. And so no matter how far you get out there in front of your competitors, you're still behind your customers. So they're always pulling you along. So customer obsession is a deep principle that underlies everything we do. Another one is eagerness to invent. So we love to pioneer. And when we have done, by the way, whenever we have tried to do something in a kind of Me Too fashion, we have failed at it. We need to have something that is differentiated, unique, something that customers are going to like, that we're kind of leading with. So that's another element that works for us. And then another one is long-term thinking. We are willing to take some time and be patient with our business initiatives, and that runs through everything. So a lot of our competitors might have 2 to 3 year kind of time frames, and we might have more of a 5 to 7 year sort of time frame. And then the last one, operational excellence. So literally, you know, how do you have high standards around, you know, identifying defects, fixing defects at the root, all of those kinds of things that lead to what I think also can be in a simpler way just stated as professionalism, that you want to do things right just for the sake of doing them right.
So let's talk about that with another, I guess this is a corollary. Now that you have about 600,000 employees, I calculated you're adding about 250 people a day. You've mentioned that you're trying to fend off day two.
Yeah.
And you've said that day two is stasis, followed by irrelevance, followed by excruciatingly painful decline, followed by death. That is why it is always day one. How's that work?
Well, so day one, this is a phrase that we use at Amazon all the time. I've been using it in my first annual shareholder letter from 20 years ago. And we say it's always day one. And it needs to be day one for the reason that you just mentioned. So the real question for me is, how do you go about maintaining a day one culture? You know, it's great to have the scale of Amazon. We have financial resources, we have lots of brilliant people, we can accomplish great things, we have global scope, we have operations all over the world. But the downside of that is that you can lose your nimbleness, you can lose your entrepreneurial spirit, you can lose your that kind of heart that that small companies often have. And so if you could have the best of both worlds, if you can have that entrepreneurial spirit and heart, while at the same time having all the advantages that come with scale and scope, think of the things that you could do. And so how, the question is, how do you achieve that? The scale is good because it makes you robust. You know, a big boxer can take a punch to the head. The question is, you also want to dodge those punches. So you'd like to be nimble. You want to be big and nimble. And I find that there are a lot of things that are protective of the day one mentality. I already spent some time on one of them, which is customer obsession. I think that's the most important thing. If you can, and it gets harder as you get bigger. When you're a little tiny company, say you're a 10-person startup company, every single person in the company is focused on the customer. When you get to be a bigger company, you've got all the middle, you've got middle managers, and you've got all these layers, and those people aren't on the front lines. They're not interacting with customers every day. They're insulated from customers, and they start to manage not the customer happiness directly, but they start to manage through proxies like metrics and processes, and some of those things can become bureaucratic. So it's very challenging. But one of the things that happens is the decision-making velocity slows down. And I think the reason, one of the reasons that that happens is that people, all the junior executives inside the big company start to model all decisions as if they are heavyweight, irreversible, highly consequential decisions. And so even two-way doors, you make a decision, it's the wrong decision, you can just back through the door and try again. even those reversible decisions start to be made with heavyweight processes. And so you can teach people that these pitfalls and traps, and then teach them to avoid those traps. And that's what we're trying to do at Amazon, so that we can maintain our inventiveness and our heart and our kind of small company spirit, even as we have the scale and scope of a larger company.
So 600,000 people, small company, which that's a trick. So I know the Bush Center, we focus on leadership. And I know that...
Hey, Empire Builders, I told you that was a gem of an interview. I just gave you a snippet. You can definitely check out the interview on YouTube. I'm sure if you go to the George Bush Presidential Center or SMU's website, they will also have that as well. But just good stuff, both on the need for leaders and businesses to be customer service focused, or as I would just call it, just having a servant's heart. Also dealing with Jeff Bezos's very interesting approach to money management and finance. I just think it's just absolutely brilliant. So great insights, wonderful gems. And I totally forgot that Jeff Bezos has a day one philosophy that keeps his business incredibly entrepreneurial. And it's funny, because my company, New Day Consulting Systems, has a very similar philosophy, hence the name New Day. Every day is a new day. And so I hope that this interview and my commentary and the podcast series that I've developed to date are a considerable help to you. If you'd like to continue this conversation, please feel free to call into the Anchor Station, Business Scale Insights. DM me on Twitter, BizScale Pro, BizScale Podcast. Check me out on LinkedIn. I always say Kimberly M. Bonner, but my name on LinkedIn is Kimberly Bonner, so it'll be easy for you to contact me. And also, you can email me at BizScalePro@gmail.com. I hope you have a wonderful Friday. I hope you have a terrific weekend, and here's to your success.